Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The nationwide parliamentary election campaign in Britain is now in its final day, and Labourite Prime Minister James Callaghan and opposition Conservative leader Margaret Thatcher have been making last-minute appeals for votes. Susan Peterson reports from London.
One of the main campaign issues has been what each party will do to handle the trade unions in this country, especially after the experience of many strikes this past winter. If elected, Mrs. Thatcher promises to clamp down on the power of those unions, but the Prime Minister says that's the road to more industrial strife.
I think we've got to make up our minds about this question, you know. Whether the government of the day intends to work in cooperation with the organized workers of this country or intends to confront them.
Though the Conservatives have had a substantial lead over the Labour Party in opinion polls for the past month, that lead has slipped. Now, according to the last opinion poll, the Labour government is slightly favored to be returned to power. But Mrs. Thatcher says that doesn't bother her.
We believe there will be a change. You never hear me boast or brag. We have very considerable grounds for cautious optimism.
Trading on the London stock markets this morning was steadier after yesterday's attack of election nerves. Then there was an estimated $3 billion loss in share prices when it was announced that Labour possibly could win this election. Susan Peterson, CBS News, London.
A major religious figure was assassinated during the night in Iran, and a terrorist group calling itself Forgan is claiming responsibility. Bert Quint has details.
Ayatollah Morteza Motahari, one of Iran's most important Muslim leaders, was fatally wounded after leaving a dinner party in downtown Tehran late last night. Following the pattern of Italy's Red Brigades and other terrorist organizations, the Gorgon then called a local newspaper and said they had done it. Motahari, an elderly professor of theology at Tehran University, is said to have been a strong supporter of Ruhollah Khomeini, who led the Iranian revolution and now controls the country. In their phone call to the newspaper, the terrorists said they had killed Motahari because of his participation in the Islamic Revolutionary Council, which acts as the country's real governing group. Just what Forgan is and what it hopes to achieve is not clear. The Farsi word means to divide. It is believed that the group is made up of persons who had supported the Shah and opposed the establishment of an Islamic state. Bert Quint, CBS News, Tehran.
Motahari's funeral will be held tomorrow, which the Iranian government has declared a national day of mourning. Seven bombs exploded in Paris last night, injuring no one but causing damage to places of business, government buildings, and a bank. All the devices went off in a one-hour period. A group calling itself the Coordination of Revolutionary Action is claiming responsibility for them. An unusual sight today at Pyongyang Airport, the flag of the United Nations, flying at full staff alongside the flag of North Korea. It was in honor of Secretary General Kurt Waldheim, who arrived there today from Peking. Richard C. Hotlett reports what he's doing in the North Korean capital.
Waldheim's purpose is to see if he can get the talks on Korean reunification off dead center. There was high hope when they began several years ago, but they've now deteriorated into a political warfare exercise. North Korea refuses to talk to the South Korean government, while the South insists reunification must be discussed officially if it's to be accepted all around. North Korea has repeatedly asked to negotiate with the United States. The U.S. says it will not discuss the Korean question unless South Korea is at the table. The Chinese leaders were somewhat reassuring in their talks with Waldheim yesterday. Chairman Wago Feng discounted rumors that the Soviet Union had set up military and naval bases in North Korea, and he recalled that North Korea had supported China in the Cambodian dispute. The Chinese apparently do not believe in a present danger of military confrontation in Korea, and they support peaceful reunification. But Peking does not recognize South Korea as an independent state, and China is not willing to join in the negotiations on Korean unity, so the issue is as far from resolution as it has been for years.
Richard C. Hartle, CBS News, Pyongyang.
President Carter begins talks at the White House this morning with Japanese Prime Minister Masayoshi Ohira. Robert Pierpoint puts the discussions in perspective.
Ever since America withdrew its occupation of Japan in 1952, the two nations have been political, economic, and even military allies. Each new prime minister has made a ritualistic visit to Washington to pay his respects to the White House. And this, in turn, has helped sanctify and solidify his political standing at home. But in recent years, that ritual has become increasingly difficult for the prime minister, as Japan's economy has soared and America's trade deficit, typified by imported Japanese automobiles and television sets, has risen with it. This, in turn, has stirred protectionist sentiments in the minds of both American firms and labor unions hurt by Japanese imports. The U.S. government has leaned on the Japanese to reduce that trade imbalance by allowing more American goods into what is sometimes called Japan Inc., the closed society of industrial, political, and bureaucratic leaders that really runs the country. But between the visit of each prime minister, the trade gap has grown larger. Today, Prime Minister Ohira will be warmly welcomed by President Carter, but will be warned by others to open his country wider to American products or face the prospect of retaliatory trade practices here, which could be damaging to both nations. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
Mr. Carter today is expected to appoint a new Army Chief of Staff to succeed General Bernard Rogers, who is replacing General Alexander Haig as NATO's Supreme Commander in Europe. Administration sources say the President has passed over 15 senior generals and has chosen 50-year-old Lieutenant General Edward Meyer as the new chief. Meyer is now the Army's Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations. Only 2 weeks ago, he was named Commander of Army Ground Forces in Europe. 14 people are now under federal indictment in Miami, charged with drug smuggling. And Martha Teichner reports that this action is apparently just the start of a massive new attack on drug traffic in South Florida.
The indictments read like fiction, describing a bizarre smuggling ring that is supposedly responsible for bringing 1 million pounds of marijuana into the United States in 16 months. Arthur Narbas, head of the FBI in Miami, details one aspect of the operation.
If I could describe the allegations in the indictment, it would be in terms of a quasi-military operation where everything was timed and a communications net was set up and a very, very minimum amount of lapse of time was had in the meeting of the ship, the offloading of the ship, and the dropping of the marijuana here.
The ring is accused also of trying to steal an Eastern Airlines 727 jet, of having an intelligence network inside law enforcement agencies, and of maintaining a communications van so sophisticated it could patrol the East Coast in constant touch with drug ships offshore. The Drug Enforcement Administration and the FBI have been working together for more than a year on the investigation. They expect more indictments and hope that they will be able to trace the millions of dollars of illegal drug profits that may be finding their way into legitimate Miami banks. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Miami.
Attorney General Griffin Bell in Washington calls it one of the biggest drug busts in history by federal authorities. Arthur Fiedler passed the latest of many milestones last night. At the age of 84, he commenced his 50th year as conductor of the Boston Pops. Chuck Krause of WEEI described the scene.
Everybody stands up here in Symphony Hall. An American flag is unfurled, hanging over the stage. And Arthur Fiedler begins a triumphant 50th anniversary season with the Boston Pops Orchestra. He came on looking frail, but once he took that baton, he was in charge of the orchestra. There have been standing ovations for Arthur Fiedler. Hundreds of balloons now are descending from the ceiling of Symphony Hall. They're being popped. He just batted one away with a baton. Thousands of people are cheering and applauding as Arthur Fiedler begins his 50th anniversary season. This is Chuck Krause, CBS News, Boston.
Fiedler underwent brain surgery last December. John Wayne, who was operated on for cancer in January, is back in hospital for the third time this year. The 71-year-old actor was admitted to UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles last night, 6 days after he was released from another hospital for treatment of a bronchial infection. This time it's an intestinal problem. Wayne's son says the actor's condition is not serious. The dollar reached a record high for the year today in Tokyo, about 225 yen.